Welcome to episode 12 of No Shame. It's Paddy Houlihan, the hooligan here. We don't have a guest today because every now and again we decide to just let me splatter on about what's going on in my head, because mostly when we finish the podcast, we have a million crazy questions, and then as the week goes on as well, I'm forwarding Shane some messages and Robin some messages. What do we think about this? What do we think about that? Just the interesting shit that goes on in life. And of course, the MMA stuff that goes on. So, here we are, the Lima-powered No Shame studio at SPG Dublin 24. So much has gone on this week. One of the big things that that touches close to home, especially for Irish MMA, is that the Ultimate Fighter has some Irish blood in it, which would be a close friend of my own, Richie Swollen. So what have we got on this, Robin?
Yeah, Richie, he had tryouts for the Ultimate Fighter there a few weeks ago, and he left a big... He left a big impression from what reports are saying. I read there during the week as well, there was an article on him saying how a few local fighters helped him out to get there.
Yeah, no, he's a... If anyone doesn't know Richie Smullen, Richie's from Arklow. He's on the Ultimate Fighter. The Ultimate Fighter, which is a contestant show where people fight each other to knock each other out of a house. Kind of like Big Brother with scraps, yeah? But... Richie is like the oldest old school. Anytime he walks out the Bama, the crowd goes absolutely crazy. He has that little thing that people look for, the relatability, if you must. His leg lock game and his whole overall wrestling game is aggressive and devastating. You will hear it first and probably from many other people that I can't see how Richie does not go into that house and destroy everyone. I think the hardest part of it's going to be, and I think Richie will agree, and we get him in when he comes back and ask him about this, is dodging bread. Dodging the bread is going to be the hardest part in that house, because, like us all, we all have our demons, and Richie likes a bit of bread. He likes toast, a bit of tea and toast. But it's great to see him in there. And it wasn't an easy road. Richie took that hard way, you know what I mean? Richie does 10 to 12 hours a day training, and I'm so happy for him to be in there. So, Richie, bring it home, man.
What type of style can fans expect to see from him?
Very heavy hands going forward. And when he gets you in a clinch, it's like getting sucked into a vacuum. You know, there's no... Your hips are taken away. He dominates when people do be using underhooks. Underhooks to be kind of like the dominant side of the clinch, if you must. Richie just crushes them. He has this way of crushing them and just kind of launching people, and then when he gets onto the ground, it's like a wet blanket. You know, he's a smothering style. It would be kind of like, to be honest, like Khabib style, if you must. You know, but better.
And who do you think's going to be a better coach for him, DC or Miocic?
I think I'd love to see him get DC, because DC, and especially because there's no doubt. There's levels to things, to these games, and DC is the highest of level wrestler as it comes. So I'd love to find out the little tiny things that he learns, like little tiny grips and differences of trips and different views on it. I'd love to see him get DC, because selfishly I want some of the stuff that he's going to get off him, because like DC, he'll take it serious, and you could tell coming from being a wrestling background and even the Olympic background, he'll know how to structure and put something together and make that kind of team camaraderie, you know what I mean? But as it's an individual event over there, and some people get mixed up in that, of the idea of like teams and stuff like that, but I don't think Richie will. I think Richie is like probably decided to kill everybody in the house already, you know?
I was just going to ask that, like, Richie, absolute gent, but how do you think he's going to get on with the... I'm sure there's going to be some mad personalities in there.
I don't know, man. I know me, myself, that I can only spend so long in a room with Americans. I've loads of American friends, but some guys that are trying to nitpick at your head, that's their job. They have the right accent and the right kind of mentality to do that, you know? So I think... a little funny story, actually, in Starbucks when I was in Las Vegas, is a woman was like literally wound me up to death, and all I was trying to do was buy a cup of tea. Do you want a warm? Do you want sugar? Do you want sweetener? Do you want a medium? Do you want a small? Do you want herbal tea? Do you want brown tea? Do you want milk? Do you want cream? Do you want sweetener? And then when we got to the end of this, the woman asked me for ID because we were in a casino. I had to go, I just fucking keep the tea, missus. You know what I mean? I would have to go to my room and get an ID to come back down. Now, and I think that's just, that is the culture. But I could definitely tell that there's going to be one or two really annoying guys in there. Like, there is every year, in The Ultimate Fighter. And but Richie's, he's street smart as well, you know what I mean? Richie knows when to stay quiet, knows when to not do it. Now, me, on the other hand, I know for a fact, if I had to spend 8 weeks in that house, I would be escorted out there in a straitjacket. Because I just couldn't be around people that I didn't want to be around for that much. I love my silence, as we were talking before here. John, you know, we sussed as well, just as we came in, the lights, if you don't know, we've got new, Robin sussed a new lighting rig here, and we've got different lights in the Lima studio. We're upgrading every single week as it goes on the way to the top. But when you turn on the lights, there's such a different sound, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to knock them on every second? Knock them on for a second. You only notice them kind of sounds, isn't it, when someone notices it out of you? And then when you pull it back off, boom, back in real silence again.
More relaxing, isn't it?
Much more relaxing. I'm actually going to sit here sometimes and just get my light on.
Get the shades on.
Get my light on. Yeah, but I could see. And there's another guy, Brad Gatona as well, which is him, which would train. He's from Canada, but he's been over training for a little while in SPG HQ down the road. And he's another guy that I got to get some rounds and stuff in with him, and he's a solid guy. You know what I mean? But he moved all the way over here and put his life on hold. So it's guys like that that deserve it. They deserve it, you know. And coach wise, that's an exciting season. I haven't really been excited for an Ultimate Fighter in a while, to be honest.
Yeah, it'd be great to watch.
It'll be a great one to watch, especially because the coaches will clash. You know, will not drastically clash, but I think they'll clash in the right way competitively.
But like, because I mean, you've been in that situation, and anytime you see a young fighter starting out, it must remind you of your own journey.
Yeah, well, it can remind you of how long it actually takes. That's actually a good thing, because what I've been doing lately is I get loads of kind of offers to go to all different kinds of places, like, and as I say, I like home, I like staying at home, I like being in Ireland, so I don't really like to travel too much, where most people do like to travel. I get to do a lot of the schools and a lot of places I get to drop in, and the thing about the schools is, I've done a few schools over the last little while, is that it's like going back in time and being able to say something to myself. So it's kind of, when I'm going there, I'm really interested in it. I'm not just there to be talking shit, you know what I mean? I think that a lot of the youth these days, and even like, if you think about, if you watch stuff online and you try to picture yourself being that young now, I think that's a crazy experience, where you think back when we were young, we didn't have any social medias and stuff like that. Not that we're ancient, you know what I mean? But it's going fast, really, really quick. So a lot of the stuff, when we go into the schools and stuff like that, I've been trying to explain to them feelings that go on in their body. So a lot of the feelings that everybody suffers with is anxiety, is fear, urges, if you must, you know, like urges to do things, urges to take things, urges to keep up with things, and I kind of broke it down over the last little while, and it made me realise why it works even more, you know. So what I kind of sort of say to them is, when they start, is I kind of bring them back to like being a caveman, and try to get them to think from that point of view in their life. So the idea that when you're in a cave, everything's a lot simpler. But if we think about ourselves as cavemen, and then we think ourselves as city people, if you put a caveman into the city, it's kind of nearly the same thing, because a lot of the same urges and the chemicals are going around, and people are tweaking out because they don't really know what's going on within their body. So the idea of, say, fear. So the feeling of fear. So to me, and it comes, a lot of the stuff will come from a book called The Chimp Paradox, which is a really good book. And I like to read kind of books that are on, like, on your mind and on coaching and on the way people think and development and stuff like that. And The Chimp Paradox is one of the great books for it. But there's a thing in it about fear. So fear is into three steps. The first one, fear has three reactions, sorry. So when fear comes, and fear, modern day in caveman times, you're talking about fear in a cave, where there's a saber-tooth tiger outside, and that scared fear to die. Fear is in all different ways now, where you've got fear of people are afraid not to fit in, people are afraid not to have the right stuff, people are afraid to to not kind of be like everyone else, you know what I mean? So we call that like social camouflage when I'm talking to kids in the schools and stuff like that. And social camouflage is the idea of getting that beach body and getting that tan and getting that haircut everyone has, and everyone blends in and everyone's kind of like the same person, and then that one kind of crazy man on the outside, that's usually me. If you don't know who it is, it's probably you too. On the outside is kind of somebody that's the free. They're not wrapped up in all the idea of being, having to have everything that everybody else has and having to do everything that everybody else does. So that's a fear in itself as well. So I think the three reactions to that are, one of them is you fight. And as a caveman, if you fight, you either win or you die. That's the way, there's only two ways that works out. So that decision has to be made correctly, you know. Number two is that you run away. And do you know what number three is?
No.
Do you know what number three is yet?
No.
No? And it's being remarketed to stage fright.
Really?
So, well, it's rebranded. The way okay. I think of it, it's rebranded. So stage fright would be freeze. So the idea of a saber tooth coming out and you freeze.
Yeah.
And it walks by you sometimes. But say in my job, or well, my old job, or whatever you're doing, you have to make decisions based on when fear comes in, whether you're going to let these reactions happen. And these are real things that happen in your body. So one of them is you shit yourself and you run away. You just can't find yourself to stand and fight. And some people are born and built like that. I think that's genetically. And then you have guys that they don't know how to run away. They fight all the time, which genetically their genes kind of die off because they're ballsy motherfuckers, you know what I mean? Yeah. and death comes with that. And then the idea of freezing, which a lot of people go out onto stage now and they freeze. It's actually fear that's freezing them on that stage. And that's not the idea of them going out and I have stage fright. Stage fright is a part of fear, which collapses your whole body and freezes you up.
You can't prepare for that, can you?
No, the idea is to prepare for that is to put yourself in that position over and over again to make yourself comfortable enough to not be afraid. The same way in fighting, no one goes into the first fight and is not afraid, if you must, you know. Real fear kicks in no matter who you are, but the more that you kind of do that, like anything, the conditioning to that situation gets a little bit easier. But the fear one is what kind of, I think miles off on this, but this is it when I'm doing this in school and I talk to kids, I can see kids, it's like me looking back at myself, you know what I mean, a little bit like, fuck, someone should have came and told me that, because then you start to understand it more. So the idea of fear, that goes down the road and it starts activating different chemicals. So if we jump to like urges for a second, so when we are saying there that the guys that are brave, genetically, they probably don't last as long as the guys that are, maybe they run away, or maybe they freeze and it goes past. So genetically, say, I bring it to this, so, and there's one place I do a talk in, and every time I say, who has a girlfriend in here? There's probably been about three in total, and I've probably done about four or five groups in the place, so I don't know whether there's a shortage of women or something, that's what it is, or female competitors, or boyfriends, or whatever, which way, there's someone missing over that side of the city, right, boys? And the boys will know what I'm talking about if they listen to this. So I say to them, who has a girlfriend? And the reason why is because when I say about your body is always trying to get to the top, genetically and DNA-wise, your body will be trying to get you to the top. Now, you might be able to use this as excuse, which is our girlfriends, see how it works, right? But say if you're standing in the cinema, picture yourself there as just you're standing beside your girlfriend and you're queuing up for popcorn or something like that, and a girl walks past you and she has, she looks really, really well, all right? And your instinct tells you that you want to look at her, but your other instinct tells you that if you look at her, you're probably going to get a slap, yeah? And people say, well, it's not just because, and especially the way that, like, What parts that a guy would be attracted to are on the opposite sex, if you must, or the opposite way around for a girl as well, where a girl would be into muscles, a boy would be into like a Nicki Minaj, if you must, you know, or like a, you know, and the idea of that is goes back to that cave as well. So the idea of you looking at them parts of the body is to see is that genetically good to reproduce with you. And the reason why you look at all of the girls, or you want to look at all of the girls, or all of the boys, or whatever which way is because your body and your DNA is always telling you to reproduce, to have as many of you as possible. So when it comes around that your gene will dominate the tribe if you must. So all of this stuff is going on in your body, but you're just standing there looking for popcorn. That's all you want in that day. Do you get what I mean? And you don't want all of this stress in you, but if you understand it, it's like everything. It's kind of, it gets a little bit easier. Now, if your girlfriend walks past, all right, and you catch another guy looking at her, then the chimp inside you wants to kill him. And that's a real feeling. So you feel like, yeah, but I could look at his girlfriend, but you better not look at mine. And you can see where your body is automatically bringing you on that kind of track of to reproduce and have as many people. So the next time you're looking for popcorn and your girlfriend catches you looking at somebody, tell her, hold on, this is not me. This is the caveman inside me trying to get me to genetically reproduce with every female that we see, right? So I should get a pat in the back for resisting the urge. So, but the urge of that would be to reproduce. And then you get the urge of like, the urge of hunger. You have to eat. That's something in your body telling you if you don't eat, you're going to die. The urge to drink, the urge to sleep. All of these things are kind of like genetically inner software to make us survive if you must.
Yeah. And tell me this, does Chelsea prefer the inner chimp or the inner caveman?
I'm a mad, ginger, drunk Irish chimp, you know? So all chimps are different. And that'd be the same idea when you introduce alcohol. People go crazy because the human in the brain gets quieter and the chimp gets louder. And the chimp just wants to play. And if you look at a group of load of lads in a room, they're mental if you add alcohol and you don't add, say, like probably more sensible thinking, which would usually be a female counterpart. So that would be the situation. If you add just chimps in, loads of alcohol, boys are crazy. That's why stags are mental. You know what I mean? I'm actually off on the stags this weekend. Let me finish with this real quick. So, but the idea of fear then, the fear creates the urges, and the urges to not be involved in them situations creates anxiety. And this is something that kids deal with all of the time, and adults and all different types. And people sometimes just have it in their body, and they are so conditioned to it that anxiety is present all the time, that they wake up and they're anxious about things and they don't know why. And they're like, they're always thinking, they're always kind of fidgety. Yeah, do you ever get someone that says to you, I have that feeling that something bad's going to happen? Yeah, just run away from them people, you know what I mean? Because them people are the idea that people that carry that anxiety, they don't know what's going on, but they have this feeling that something's always going to happen. And that would be the same idea as a saber-tooth tiger jumping out. So the anxiety is created to make you make a decision. So if a saber-tooth tiger jumps out and you can't make a decision between fight, flight, or run, fight, flight, freeze, your body will push anxiety to you. And anxiety will be the one that will make you make that decision. So it's like prompting you to make a decision because it's a survival situation. If you don't make the decision, the body will give you more of the anxiety. Now, in modern day society, we're sitting here and we have a jam sandwich and we have a peanut butter sandwich and we're like, which one, which one, which one? And anxiety is getting created over so many different situations. A body doesn't know the difference of what's going on. Now, the answer to that would be, what would you do with that sandwich? You would stick it together. And you have a peanut butter and jam sandwich. And now the anxiety's gone out of the situation as well. You know what I mean? But little things. People, you get out of bed and you're anxious about what to wear. If you go to bed thinking about, say if, I know that my girlfriend does it, going to bed like, oh, what am I going to wear tomorrow? Or this wedding down the road. That little undecisive thinking there stays ticking over. And even when you're asleep, you'll wake up. And it'll still be there, the indecisive thing. So make them decisions. If you make them decisions, you'll find a huge difference of anxiety. And the amount of feedback I've got about over this, I haven't done this, I haven't told this to kind of anybody else rather than groups that I go to and talk to. And this is kind of what I've watered it down to, where I think them three things, if you can get them in order and you can deal with them and get conditioning in them, you will be surprised about the amount of success and kind of open passages that open up in your life rather than being, something's going on over here, but I'm stuck looking over here dealing with these feelings, you know? The world opens up and there's another way of doing it, and this is the way I do it. I just don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? If you have that attitude, that's a powerful thing to say. Just fuck it. You know what I mean? Well, really is.
That's powerful stuff, Paddy.
You like that?
Yeah,
I knew we looked that. I don't know how we went down that road.
Philosophical. You see, this is why we do the hooligan report every Maybe. Once in a while. You don't get this. You don't get this.
Stop yourself from talking when the other guys are on. You know what I mean? I'm like, go on, have something to say. Have something to say. But I'm getting better at that as well. I think I'm getting better at this at the podcast as well, because I'm learning as everyone else is learning in here. But it's as I said, if it stops being crack, we will stop doing it. You'll know it stop being crack as well because of the feeling or the sound of it.
It's good. It's been great doing them so far. It's hard to believe we're 12, 13 weeks in.
Oh yeah, and it's. Do you know what I like about this? The idea of that we sat down together and we made sure that we made a plan on it. We didn't just like, now to say that we're not winging it sometimes is winging it is part of the talent of you, most of it. You know what I mean? Absolutely. The idea of being able to have the banter and being able to talk. You know, if we had a script. We should do that someday just for the crack. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Just to see what it looks like. No, we couldn't do that. An Irish script, you know. Well, how's it going? What's the story? How's it going? Top of the morning to you. And just like, how are you on the script? You can improv.
I would definitely end up in a brawl.
that's the truth as well.
Oh, wow.
We're in the right place for it.
That was beautiful, Paddy. I don't even know how to follow that. Like,
look at that. Robin's like, I quit everything. Yeah. I'm out of my job. Yeah. I'm a naturist now.
So, UFC 221 then. Tough act to follow after that, but Rockhold Romero this weekend.
Man, and I'd pay a ticket just to listen to Rockhold Romero walk around the cage. Hey, guys. You know, I think he's great, you know what I mean? And, But Rockhold's very rounded and complete. But like, you're wrestling with a small buffalo there with Yael Romero. You know what I mean?
He's a freak of nature, that man. Isn't
he? He's very, very, very freaky. You know what I mean? And there's some guys that you just know, when looking at them, that they're just.
And he has God on his side as well.
Oh, you cannot beat the God situation. So you know what God, I mean? So, but you know what the thing is? And I remember it was my own coach saying this to me many years ago, and. On that kind of like apprenticeship through the road of watching what's going on, like, see the way the idea of what we just went through there. I'm trying to break this shit down, I'm trying to figure it out like everybody else, like life in general, trying to figure it out. But yeah, Romero, when he goes out and he says like, and he leaves it with God, that's kind of a superpower in itself, because he already thinks, he's not anxious and not worrying about the decision, because in his head he truly believes that he has hung his coat on the back of God's. Hang on, you know what I mean? And he's going to take care of it. So of course I'm going to win. God's on my side. That's a powerful thing to be able to truly believe in.
Yeah.
If you can't truly believe in it, then you're maybe kidding yourself. But if you truly believe that there's this divine man on your side, you know what I mean? I'd take that if I could.
Yeah.
they can peel and not get you sad and busted for that. You'd be doing all right.
It ties into what you just said there. I'll tell you what about Luke Rockhold. I'm glad he's got his shot. Because he worked hard to get to that title and then just got caught by...
Such a cool champion as well, isn't he? Yeah. He's that kind of guy that like walks out of his house and the camera's there and he goes... and sticks his glasses on. And just walks on about his day.
But he is an athlete. He's a specimen of a man as well, and works his ass off.
A specimen. And the most eligible bachelor as well. He's just a single man rolling around, taking world titles. He's like a superhero or something he is. Yeah, no, that's going to be a great fight.
He's got the right idea. He doesn't need to worry when he's in the queue for his popcorn in the cinema.
No, he doesn't. He just goes over and takes partners, you know what I mean? Yeah. Puts them over the pot. I think, do you know what? So subconsciously, I think I'm becoming like very delicate towards feminism or something like that. Like even when I'm talking about things now, I make sure I'm always trying to put it like say girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever which way I'm trying to. Now, not that I'd ever kind of offend anybody. I'd never, if someone asked me, have you got it? No, I don't. I've no things against anybody or religions or groups or that. I like my own idea and I stick with what I do and I don't judge anybody. But you know, subconsciously I think I'm getting kind of what did I say, PG'd? Is that what it be?
Yeah, parental guidance.
PC'd, is it?
PC'd, is it?
Yeah, it's
politically correct.
It's getting crazy, isn't it?
It's not necessarily a good thing either, Paddy.
No, I know.
Be very careful of what you're saying. As you said, you don't go out to offend anyone.
Exactly.
But it could be construed as that way.
You've got to be careful. Exactly.
People are always looking to be offended.
This is the thing, and you know what the yoga, it's like, it becomes your judge and jury now, you know, like if you say something, it's like, oh! But you could ask the man, hold on, did you mean that at that time? No, I didn't mean at this time, this is actually what I meant. That still doesn't matter, you know what I mean? The idea of being convicted for something already is, so, only when we were saying stuff there, and I'm like, a girlfriend or a boyfriend. I'm subconsciously kind of putting that in, but I'll touch on this real quick, just kind of maybe what's on my head. This morning I was watching a video, and I think it was Ashley Judd, and she's in an airport, and some guy, security guard, now you can imagine this happening in Ireland, and some outfit being like, what? You know what I mean? He called her sweetheart.
Yeah.
And she flipped. She wasn't into it at all. You call her sweetheart, and then she said, you call me sweetheart. And I think that people are going around like, thinking about this stuff, and it's like, see, he did it, he did it. And it's becoming this kind of like lynch mob, you know what I mean? If you're Muslim, like for people that are probably generally not like that, and it's, we don't know whether it's fair, because
it's like you're saying, I think people are overthinking things.
Overthinking things. And if people are underthinking it, so I know Irish people, I say things and Chelsea be like, you can't say that, Paddy. I'm like, what? What do you mean? Well, I'm an Irish man speaking the English language, you know what I mean? It doesn't suit me. So let me offer it. That's my excuse to horror, right?
Yeah.
Well, the idea, I think the guy, so started off where he called her sweetheart and she didn't like it. So she's like, I kind of noticed that this guy was being, is a feminist towards me or being
sexist
towards me? He called me sweetheart. And then he said something about like, oh, you have a nice dress. Oh, that's a nice dress, when he was going through the stuff. And she goes, he never said it to anybody else. She goes, and then he touched me. And I'm like, this is weird, man. I can see this moment in my head, and it's a security thing going down. You know what I mean? The guy has to do what he's doing, and he's just being nice, and he meets people every day. I doubt he kind of honed in on one person and was like, I'm going to like drag this person down. You know what I mean? And it's starting to get crazy. It's starting to get mental out there. You know what I mean? All I'm saying is, I'm all good. No, but someday, maybe if these things do happen, go and ask the person, like, if somebody says something stupid on telly or says something stupid in an interview, that can't be the stamp. It has to be like, hold on, did you mean that? And you'd be like, do you know what? I didn't. I was at the meeting watching that and it slipped up, and maybe I said this and I shouldn't have said that, and this is it. That's not even good enough these days. You know what I mean? People are like, no. You're a sexist motherfucker. You know what I mean? But you can imagine an Irish lad there, couldn't you, at the thing. How's it going, sweetheart? That's a lovely dress you have on there. And all of a sudden, I was like, what? And he's like, oh no, you're grand. And he touched her on the shoulder. He's touching me. He's some Irish lad freak there. Lads are going to be walking around like this. Don't make eye contact. But
it's,
you can't even make a compliment to somebody there. You know what I mean? And there's no doubt, if she had a nice dress on and he said, that's a nice dress, she would have felt great over that.
The problem is, it will damage communication between people in the long run. People don't want to talk. No. Like, I can't say anything in case I say something bad.
That's it. And you know what? That would kind of be the idea of, say, where doctors in America and stuff like that had to be extra careful between everything, because people were suing them for stupid stuff. You know what I mean? Like, an example would be, right, when I got my back surgery, I wanted the bit of disc that they cut off, right? And they asked me why. My own thoughts, right? I had plans for it. So when they cut it off, he said to me, I can't give it to you before the surgery. And I said, why? And he said, because let me tell you, right? A guy had a piece of a bone removed in America, and the doctors gave it to him, right? And he cut himself off the bone, and he sued the hospital. It's fucked up, isn't it?
That's insane.
Isn't it?
That's insane.
What about the guy who they sewed him up and they left the scissors in his stomach?
Now, he has a case. You know what I mean? He has a case. But it's the idea, as I said, where now doctors and stuff like that, a doctor would be like, maybe I could do a lie. No. This is theoretically, you know what I'm saying? Maybe I could. I know if I was making a decision and I was a doctor and I was like, I could do a surgery on them and save them, but there's a chance that they might sue me. So I could do this. I could go a different direction. You're probably going to lean on the side that's safer towards you, aren't you? And it's the same way in conversation, where people are going to kind of, I'm just not engage, as you said, because it's going to get me in trouble.
For you, Paddy. Sorry for interrupting you.
No, go ahead.
Shoulder surgery before. Two shoulder surgeries.
Two shoulder surgeries, yeah, on the same shoulder?
On the same shoulder, yeah, dislocation. But second surgery was going in for same surgeon, brilliant surgeon now. One of the best in Europe, but when I was going in, just before I was getting anaesthetised to go to sleep, they mark you up with marker.
Yeah.
I was getting my right
shoulder. To make sure you got the right side.
He started drawing on the left shoulder. And I'm like, I'm getting my right shoulder done. He's like, oh, sorry about that. And then he went over, so good call.
That's messed up, that, isn't it? Imagine that. You walk over like, there's nothing wrong with your shoulder. It was the wrong one.
And the thing is, they had to give Mono a strong dose. Anyone else would have been long asleep, like he was like, what? He's like, why are you still awake?
Because he's a baby hippo.
But thanks for letting me know.
He's like up off the table every
time. I'm in the bath full of ice and my kidney's gone as well.
I do always try to hold that down and it doesn't work, you know what I mean? The idea of trying to, like, when any soldiers of mine had, like, I'm gonna fight this anesthetic and then I wake up and it's all over again. You will lose that every time. You won't even make it to two, you know what I mean? And I'm only a little hamster of a lad, you know what I mean? So it's like,
how did you feel when you woke up?
Bits, horrible.
Bits.
Groggy, hung over to death.
I too, the first time, it was one of the best buzzes I've ever got in my life. It was just, this is unbelievable. I was ringing people. It was terrible going in for surgery, but I was kind of looking forward to that when I woke up. It's like, this is going to be great when I woke up. Surgery's done. I can start recovery. Second time around, it was one of the worst hangovers I ever had.
That's the way I came through.
Horrible.
Horrible loss. And when I was getting my done, it was on my back. So you're upside down. So they actually have you, like, kind of bent over or something when you're getting surgery. So you had to do arrows and stuff like that until you're facing the right way up. And he's like, just in case, because you've got lots of discs, we could do the wrong one pretty easy. You shouldn't have said that, mate. I'm sitting there shitting myself, you know what I mean? And when I was getting put to sleep, I was, like, lying face up. And I was like, why are we not supposed to be face down for this surgery? She's like, oh, no, we'll move you after this. And I'm like, I don't like the idea of somebody moving me around and prompting me over things while I'm in the nip. You know what I mean? That got me as well, you know. So if you're ever getting a back surgery out there, it's actually, I only got a message off somebody there a minute ago, that they messaged me about, like, sciatica and stuff like that, about getting a back surgery, and I gave them just the advice on it. And it's mad that we're talking about that. They literally messaged me and said that he got the surgery this morning. Was it this morning? He said, I had that surgery on Monday. Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot for the advice. Sciatica is much better already, you know what I mean? Because sciatica, if anybody knows, man, it's horrible. It's the worst pain ever. Worst ever. So miles away again. Whoa.
That was, again,
powerful stuff. It's hard. It sucks you out.
Just to move on from that, I think the most important thing with all of it is the way you say it, isn't it? I think that's why Irish people get away with it a lot of the time.
Oh, where do you get in trouble with it a lot of the time?
That
know?
Cheeky smile.
Cheeky smile is it. Blue eyes, as they say. You know what I mean?
It's a case, we're very good at telling it in Ireland, is if you're saying something for the crack, no, slagging, having a crack.
The crack.
As long as there's no malice in it, you don't mean badness.
100%.
You can almost say anything.
Yeah, anything.
Anything.
Anything. No, you're right. No, if malice is in it, that, I don't think we're not malice is, we're not malice. If we put malice into it, oh, you'll know.
I'm conscious of the fact you have a class coming up at 12, Paddy, so maybe we'll just take
I teach 12 to 1 here on a Wednesday, and it's the Wednesday club. So we've got, like, a group of guys that we've been building up for ages that sneak off work and we come here and we do jiu-jitsu. That's great.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, isn't it? We'll just take one more item and we'll finish up.
Let's do it.
Let me see. We talk about Mario Yamasaki.
Oh, yeah. So we'd have to finish on this. But this gets released on Tuesday. This is going to be old news. But it's never old news with Mario Yamasaki. As he keeps completing this and just making a fresh news every time again. No, but, like, as a fighter, that was the next fighter, it would make me nervous seeing on the card that he was refereeing me. There's guys like Mark Goddard, or there's guys like Herb Dean. There's a few guys I've had as referees, and when I've looked at the fight card and I've seen, it actually made me feel a little bit calmer, you know what I mean? But if I seen Mario Yamazaki, it'd be like I was fighting two lads in there. Subconsciously, you know that if something really, really bad's happening, that the referee is going to save you. And in your body doesn't know. Your body thinks you're going to die out there. Do you get what I mean? It thinks that it's preparing for that. But your mind knows different. But if you're going in there with a ref that you don't really trust, I don't know if I'd like the idea of that.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, what was it? How did he defend it?
Huh?
How did he defend it again? I don't know the words of the tweet, but he defended it in the idea of, like, if he had said, you know what, I was wrong there. Fair enough. Which is the biggest part of owning up to it. You know?
Yeah, yeah. He was just saying,
I think he said that, like, let fighters be fighters or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, that was kind of the response to it as a tweet, you know. And I just think if you go back to say the Brock Lesnar situation, like that's a long time ago when Brock Lesnar got knee-barred by Frank Mir. I think he tapped 8 or 9 times and Mario Yamasaki was the referee. And, like, you're going back a long time here. Now, I know for a fact if you mess up in your job, especially at that, because you're the top of the world, if it's golf, you're going to drop down rankings after one bad kind of season, or, you know what I mean? So I don't know how it works with referees. Like, are they solidified in that? I think the best referee for the job, best man for the job, obviously, with everything.
Yeah. If Dana White has way, he'll never ref again, will he?
I don't think Dana has anything to do with it at all. That's the really? Thing. So it's it'd be Nevada State Commission or the Athletic State Commission that employ the refs and stuff like that. I'm sure if Dana could get the refs in there, it'd be if he had a decision on that, it'd be, no. Dana's you can imagine what Dana's job's like.
Yeah, tough.
Like, that's mental. I'd like to see the weirdos in his phone, because the weirdos in mine are already weird, you know? So, like, I'd imagine to see what goes on in his. It's, like, I'd say he gets some crazy questions. I actually got a message to you today saying, tell Dana, will you, that if we see CM Punk, it'd be good crack. No. No, go away. Because CM Punk would probably kill you, to be honest. You know what I mean? Because most of these guys look, oh, he's shy. Yeah, but he's shy in a way of, like, against the best in the world in your idea, but there's no doubt the man's been putting a lot of work in and training, and that little bit of training would separate him from the ordinary dude, as in, and wrestling's not easy either.
He's training nearly 3 years now.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So
every day,
and I'd say the motivation, he's either motivated or he's depleted by it. The guy's like, you can't do it. It either winds him up or depletes him, you know what I mean? But even we finish on that, we're saying Ronda doing the WWE. People are hating on that as, like, kind of, get paid, you know what I mean? Get your money and then fight people in the gym if you want to fight. And that's what you really love. Because at the end of the day, when you're doing it in front of the whole world and stuff like that, it's still your job. Like, you've got to wake up on Monday and think about what's next and think about how to prepare for that. And when your guys go out to watch a show and have so much opinions, it's only a night out sometimes to them, you know what I mean? A few drinks to view a man or a woman's life, if you must. So you have to be very careful how people kind of depict that. So with Ronda Rousey going out there, the thing I didn't like about it is that this is where I would say the negative part of it would, when she didn't shake Misha Tate's hand, I didn't like the idea of that, because that's like kind of a peace thing, you know what I mean? It's like universal. And the idea that when she was flipping people off and stuff like that, but it worked for that character, there's no doubt. But then when she lost, it was kind of like, oh, I'm getting me ball and I'm going home.
Yeah.
And then went to the WWE straight after it. Now, it won't be, like, definitely a pocket will grow from it, but the only thing that level kind of get that little dint would be the legacy from it, because that's the finish of, it's how the story finishes as well, you know what I mean? So, but wish I knew but the best, I have to say. Fair play though. But now, it is the cringiest motherfucking shit I've ever seen in my life. You know what I mean? Or you won't be watching it, and that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's like, Fair City is better than WWE.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one.
Jay's a wrestler fan.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, yeah,
we might have a wrestler on the green couch in the No Shame studio in the future. You know what? We might.
He better shave his beard if he's the one that I'm on about, yeah? Because I'm the best beard in this country, and he knows that. You know what I mean? He knows that.
We'll finish up on a quote from Will Ferrell. He said recently, in Fair City, nothing's fair. You see Gogglebox? Do you ever see that?
Oh, yeah, no, I watched
Will
it.
Ferrell,
Will Ferrell said it.
All the boys are on it, and they're watching Fair City. You have to check it out. It's the funniest thing ever. And they're really getting into it, like John Lithgow, Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg. And Will Ferrell goes, it's only dawning on me, in Fair City, nothing's fair.
Carrickstown, is it?
Yeah.
Carrickstown?
Carrickstown.
Yeah,
I was like, my uncle is mad into that. Like, he's 10. And he sits down and watches Fair City. Don't know what's going on. But it's not a bad program.
We'll end
like
this episode with the Fair City theme tune.
We should get the whole crew in here. I don't even know who is the crew anymore, do we? But I know that I do. Yeah. I do. You'd be like, I'm in Fair City, and I'm like, and I end up having conversations with them for
hours.
Would
you go on Fair City, Paddy, if you got a pair?
I've only learnt this word this week as well. What's a cameo?
Cameo, yeah.
A cameo means you play
brief
yourself.
Yeah. Cameo.
It can be.
I suppose, yeah.
Is a cameo not you play yourself on a show?
Or yeah. you could play a character as well. Like, you could be the bus driver when they open up. Oh, Jesus, there's Paddy Allen. You might be playing yourself, or you might be playing a bus driver.
I'd like to play myself. I think that would be a good crack. You know what I mean? I think it'd be a lot easier.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be very hard now, being who you are so much all the time. Like, just openly that. Now you have to be this guy. That would be hard.
Okay,
now,
so actually, Fair City, if you're listening, Paddy Houlihan wants to be on your show.
Breaking news.
Put us into one of them bogey robberies or something that's going on. There's always a little bogey roguery going on, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's like, but then you go on that Fair City again, you have, what is it, Red Rock, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going down in Redlock. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, TV3, yeah.
Yeah.
There's actually one, my uncle, my auntie's husband, his brother was one of the main bad guys in Fair City for years. The used to wear the leather jacket.
Meehan or something like that, was it?
I'm not sure. I think he got killed off. But he was a drug dealer or something in Fair City.
I think it was Meehan or something
Billy,
like that.
Billy, was it? Was it Billy?
Billy.
It?
Billy Meehan.
Billy Meehan.
Billy Meehan, yeah.
I don't watch it.
No! No, it was like dog with no teeth. Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely. But We got class to teach.
We're going to pull you out of that rabbit hole.
It's 2 minutes past bell. 2 minutes past the 12 bells, and we've got a class to teach. So, unfortunately, we have to wrap it up here. But that's the hooligan breakdown on all shit that is all kinds of shit. It could be random. There's a list this long that we were going to go through, and we probably did none of it.
We covered a good bit of it.
Did we get a good bit of it?
Yeah.
So,
there you go.
It's not always promised, but we do try our best.
Short and sweet.
Catch on next time. See you.